We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
What's going on, Jamal?
Not much, man. Just in the grind, in the mix of things, getting ready, bro.
I was going to say, I mean, I've never seen anyone so unenthused about doing a podcast in my life. You look like you're here. Someone's got a gun to your head.
Nah, bro. I'm in between workouts. You know how it is. You catch that nap and you're just chilling and stuff in between.
Yeah. No. I know. And that's why I appreciate your time today. Obviously, one of the biggest fight cards to ever happen going down in just 2 weeks. You're the main event. I mean, it's incredible, Jamal, what you've achieved. It really is. How's training camp going?
Training camp is going great, man. I'm locking in. I'm rounding in the form and feeling great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you're full of confidence as well. I saw your thing yesterday where, what did you say? Was it maybe he's overrated or he's not?
He's I not never that special. Said he's overrated. Like that's the thing. I'm not like I think I seen your video, the video you put out. I'm not saying he's overrated, and I'm not saying that he's not that good. I'm just saying I'm really just that good.
Yeah, that's yeah, no, and I'm rightly so.
Yeah. I'm just saying I'm just that good.
So. He's beaten four UFC champs in seven fights. Three. Well, Strickland, Blachowicz.
Sean wasn't the champ when he beat him. Now that, and then not only that, you got to think of it like this. That version of Sean Strickland that he beat, Sean went through some other trials, some other fights, and some other growths before he became that champion. So I don't think it's fair to give him credit for beating that version of Sean Strickland.
No, fair enough. As Teddy Atlas always says, when you become the champion, you kind of improved by about 30%. So, all right, fair enough. He's beaten three champions, and he was a glory two-weight division champion. So he's pretty good on the feet. So are you. You've got insane knockout power. If I was to bet $1,000 on Jamal Hill shooting a takedown, would I win that bet?
I mean, I don't plan on shooting no takedown. I'm not a wrestler. I'm not a double legger or a single. I can do those things, but I don't see why I would need to.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm kidding around. So people out there are saying that Alex Pereira is going to knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel when you see this stuff that people continue to underestimate you?
It's funny, bro. It's funny. It just makes me excited to go in and show what's really up. Like, I'll do the talking. I'll, you know, I like that good, do a little banter back and forth and things like that. But at the end of the day, I know we got to get in there. And he got to actually do it. And to actually do it, bro, that's good luck.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for it to happen. But that's what goes down in 2 weeks. Where are you right now? Where's training camp?
I'm in Michigan right now. I'm in Grand Rapids. I've been home here for doing training camp for last like 3-4 weeks.
Nice. And who are you training with? Anyone we know?
Same guys. There's been a lot of things in house. You know, I brought a couple of Michigan guys. Just been in. Haven't really brought anybody in like that.
Yeah. No kickboxers.
I kickboxer come through. Guy pretty good.
See that he was thinking about maybe fighting Tom Aspinall.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that? Do you think this guy's just like tripping on his own?
I think that's probably he wants to challenge himself. You know, it's just another, another challenge or something that he wanted to take. Like him actually winning it is another thing, but
yeah.
You got somebody that wants to, that I don't look at people like, oh, you're crazy, whatever they want to do. I just look at it like, damn, he want to test his greatness.
Do you feel like, I mean, obviously you beat Glover Teixeira, you became the champion of the world, and you tire your Achilles, right? The division moves on, you come back, and now your main event, UFC 300. I don't know what the pay-per-view sales are going to be, but they're going to be big. You know what I mean? How does it feel to be headlining such a historic, monumental card?
Blessed, man. I feel blessed. Yeah, true.
The bank account is going to be pretty blessed as well.
Come on, man. Come on, Mike.
When that check clears, bro.
You got to take care. You got to take care of the family, man.
Of course. Yeah. When I fought George St. Pierre, you know, you get your initial bump. But those pay-per-view, when you're part of a big pay-per-view, the big checks, they continue to come for quite some time. And then just when you think you've had it all, you get another one out of the blue and you're like, oh, shit, because you don't get it all at once. You know what I'm saying? So you got a few happy days coming your way. Just when you think it's all done, you're like, oh, shit, look at this, another one.
Hey.
Oh, man. Outside of your fight, what fights are you looking forward to? I mean, do you even give a shit? Have you even looked at the card?
Yeah, I'm excited about the whole card, man. I'm excited about the whole card. Thing is, I usually like, fight day for me is like pretty chill, and I like to get my rest, so I like to take a nap and sleep before I go to the before I go to the stadium, and it's gonna make it really, really hard. It's gonna make it really difficult with all these fights on this card. I want to see them all.
No, I know. Yeah, that's always the hardest thing as well. Fight day, trying to take a nap because you know you got to do it. You got to conserve your energy. You know what I mean? But you go to the room, you draw the curtains. Sometimes sleeping isn't that easy. Or do you have no issue with that?
Nah, I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
I'm good, man. Like, I don't get nervous. I don't really get nervous. I get anxious. I'm just ready to go. Like, I get tired of waiting to get in there. It's almost like, remember when you were like a kid, you had that field trip that you wanted to go on the next day? How you were that night before sleep? That's how I feel.
Yeah.
No, I'm not like nervous or like scared. I'm like right now, bro. I just want to get in there. Like if they were like, yo, we'll lock y'all in the cage. Y'all can go right now. I'm good to go right now.
How long will it have been? When did you win the title? Was it what day?
21st, 2023.
So it's been what? 16 months.
No.
Yeah, January to the following April. It's about 16 months.
Your math a little off there, OG.
No. January to January is 12.
All right.
February, March, April, all right, 15.
January to March is 2. That's 14.
February. Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. whatever. 14 months, whatever it is.
Hey, look.
You say ring rust is all in the head.
Yeah, man. It's just all. I feel like that's just all the mindset you have. Like I've been in fights. I can think of every moment. I can think of every emotion that I felt walking into the cage, from to getting comfortable and everything, getting set in and everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I remember like every like you know what I mean. So for me, I know how to just sum it up to. I know what's at the end of it, right? I know what's at the end of all of that is just what I do every day at the gym.
Mm.
I do this every day. I've been doing it. I've been fighting. I do this every day. So that's all I got to do.
Just another day at the office. Assuming you get the job done, who would be next in line?
Depends.
What do you think about Rakic and Jiří?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think if Jiří goes out and he knocks Rakic out in an impressive fashion, you know, has a good performance. That's still a fight that I want. You know, I still want that fight, but it's got to make sense. So, and I think if him going out and knocking out Rakic could make that make sense,
Yeah.
as well as, you know, just because also just because of how he, you know what I mean, how he lost the Alex fight. I don't feel that he was given the respect of a champion to battle through adversity and to keep to you know what I mean, to get his belt back. So yeah, bro, I feel like his value is still there, and I feel that fight is still a great fight. If not him or Magomed's there. He's waiting. He's there. He'll wait.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. You know, because did you hear? I don't know if this is true, but the rumor is apparently he's got a clause in the contract that if he gets through you unscathed, he's then going to fight at UFC 301 a few weeks later against Magomed Ankalaev. You must have seen this.
I heard him say that. It's cat, bro. They don't do clauses like that. You know they don't.
But it's the first I've ever heard of one.
Imagine telling Hunter or Dana, hey, put this in my contract.
You're right. I never looked at it like that. They'd be like, bro, you're out of your fucking mind. Right. Just go and win the fight. If you beat him handily, maybe.
Right. They'll say that. Like, we'll see. Most they'll tell you is like, we'll see what happens if you get through this. We'll see what happens. But yeah. Come on, bro. They know he knows.
You're right. Let's put a special clause in the contract. Yeah. They don't need a clause in the contract. If you get through it easy, you can just fight again. They'll do you a new contract. They don't need a clause.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
But there's no clauses. When have you ever had a clause in your contract?
I don't know. Outside of
this is what you're going to get paid, and then this is what you're going to get paid for. Baby. Outside of that, what other clauses have you had in the contract?
Don't be a dickhead, which I broke that one quite a lot.
You know what I'm saying? No, I'm talking about for you, like for them, like, oh, I'm getting this in this contract. It's never happened.
Money, pay-per-view points, tickets, airfare, that type of stuff. Outside of that, yeah, no, there's maybe some legal stuff, but you're right. When you put it like that, that's nonsense. But what did you think when you first heard that? Did you think the audacity of this man?
Yeah, it was funny to me, bro. It was funny to me. And it's funny, like, that how I can say, like, yeah, I feel like I can knock, I'm going to knock him out. And it's like, oh, he's delusional. He's crazy. And all these things like that. But my man literally said he was going to beat me. He was going to beat me and then turn around 3 weeks later and fight Magomed. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, which would be a terrible idea anyway. Me and Anthony were talking about it on Monday. You don't want to train for you one specific style and then go straight into Magomed Ankalaev 3 weeks later, potentially after a 5-round fight.
Yeah. Magomed isn't gonna strike with you, bro. He's not gonna strike with you. He's gonna make you think he is, and then you're gonna be wrestling for your life the entire fight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What else has been going on? Still doing the YouTube stuff?
Yeah, the studio that I use is back in Vegas, so. So I've been kind of locked in, just focused on training and getting ready.
Yeah, no,
staying focused. Just just because it's been a long time off. And coming back from injury, and things like that. It's just better just to focus on just the work and all this, right. Make sure everything.
Yeah, all that stuff is there whenever you want it. It's there afterwards. You know what I'm saying? I didn't start doing this shit till a few years ago. Outside of your fight, Jamal, do you keep up with the UFC scene, if you will, as a whole? Like, did you see that fight booking Hamza and Robert Whittaker yesterday?
Fire.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I do. Yeah, that's fire. I'm tapped in. I'm gonna see that. Hey, talk about turnarounds. Hey, I wouldn't mind fighting in Saudi Arabia. You know what I'm saying? A Magomed fighting Saudi, me versus Magomed in Saudi Arabia wouldn't be bad. I think that's like a fight night or something like that.
Yeah, but even still.
I'm pretty sure one of them princes wouldn't mind.
I was going to say.
Hey, yo, look. They throw a number at me because, like, hey, to tell you, look, we'll give you this for the pay. Hey, I'll pull up. Hey, Sweet Dreams is made to order, baby. Come on now. These Sweet Dreams is made to order.
Yeah, look, listen, if they're.
I drop them off.
Yeah, if they're paying Ngannou, Fury, Anthony Joshua, all those crazy money, I'm sure they can stump up a nice little check from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for Jamal Sweet Dreams Hill to jump on a private jet, fly out to Saudi, handle your business. But there's no alcohol in Saudi. You wouldn't be able to party afterwards.
I'm okay with that. I haven't drank in like New Year's. I'm good. I don't need to drink.
Mm. No, of course. Of course, you got a big fight coming up. But when you do, what's the drink of choice?
I like some tequila.
Yeah.
I like some tequila. And I like my bourbon too. I like my whiskey. I even like red wine. Jordan, red wine to be specific. Ilya, I need my wine, bro. Come on, man. I know you're taking your victory lap right now, man, but I still need that. Don't forget about your boy.
What, is he going to send you some wine?
Yeah, couple bottles of Georgia's finest.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
He got dual citizenship. I think Spain, man. I take that too.
What do you think about Ilya? I mean, number one, he's amazing. He's incredible. What a superstar. He deserves all the success. But when he cuts weight, he drinks a liter of wine on the night of the weight cut.
It's just a way for him to, you know what I mean, unwind and relax. Like, you know how it is the night after you weigh, after you cut weight. It's hard to sleep, dude. It's hard to sleep. It's hard to just be in finite middle. I think that's what that is for him, to help him find that chill and that just that way to get through the night, help himself sleep, things like that. And yeah. I'm pretty sure wine dehydrates you.
Yeah. No, it's during the weight cut, though. That's why he said he does it. He said because it does dehydrate you, but you get a little buzz. Because I said to him, you know, in my hotel room or whatever, wherever we were cutting weight, it's miserable. He said, no, in my room, we got the music playing, everybody's dancing. I was like, shit, I've been doing it wrong all this time.
You have, Mike. You're too damn serious. I tell you this all the time. You don't want to listen to me, all right? You got to sit back. You got to relax. You got to smile. Just randomly hit a fucking dance move, Mike. Just hit the Michael Jackson kick. All right?
That's a little bit.
That's your goal. I want 5 Michael Jackson kicks.
There we go. This is what the people want. The champ belittling the former champ. This is what we need.
It's what I need from you, Mike. All right, it's required. It'll you'll feel great. All right, it's good for your hips.
Okay, right? My hips are destroyed.
It makes you feel. And just find a happy song to listen to. One thing.
If we had to pick a happy song for Jemal Hill, what's the happy song?
Right now, I like the 7 Years by Lucas Graham. Once I was 7 years old.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mama told me. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I like that one. All right. Well, listen, we don't want to keep you too much longer, but I could talk to you about music all day. I mean, I like this side of Jamal. It's funny. We get off the fights and you chill out a little bit. Do you get sick of talking about the fucking fights?
It's just fighting just sounds like serious, crazy talk. Everybody, I think it's just the subject of how it is. You know, but even still, bro, I'm a really chill, like open minded, carefree person. I ain't gonna say too carefree, but
no,
you know what I'm saying. But I'll be chilling, bro. I just vibe.
Good, nice. Did you see Anthony just booked his fight against Vitor Petrino?
Who's Vitor Petrino?
All right, yeah, he's undefeated Brazilian. He's on his way up. He's not ranked or anything, but he's dangerous.
Okay. It might have been the dude that I seen at the PI not that long ago. It said he was a 205er coming in.
Big, thick dude.
I don't know. This dude wasn't that big. Oh. No.
Do we have any questions for the champ before we let him go?
Where's the fight at? Where's that fight at?
Oh, do you know? Oh, UFC 301, Rio de Janeiro.
Oh shit! I got a reason to go back to Rio.
Oh, well, you got the king of Rio is going to be on the card. Jose Aldo's returning.
I love Jose. No disrespect to Jose. He was the original king of Rio. That's the new king of Rio.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's where you beat Glover.
I'm honorarily Brazilian, man. All right, those are my people as well.
The king of Rio, though, he's got a following. Jose Aldo will leg kick the shit out of you, Jamal.
What make y'all think I can't do leg kicks too? All right? Don't act like nobody likes getting leg kicked. Like, literally, nobody likes to get leg kicked. And no. Everybody leg kicked.
Nobody wants to get leg kicked. What do you think about Pereira's leg kicks, though?
Ouch.
Oh, for crying out loud. Harrington, are you there? I don't think he is.
I am. My camera's having a bit of an issue. There we go. So I do have a couple of questions for you from the believers here, Jamal. Matt McHugh wants to know, did you honestly think you'd be on the top of UFC 300? There were so many rumors about it, and he's wondering if when you got the call, you were a little bit shocked.
1,000% I was. No, I wasn't expecting to be on to be on it because for the talks were UFC 301 were the talks at the time.
Mm, nice. So
I got the phone call.
Okay, well, listen, my producer Harrington, there is. I don't know what are you doing, Harrington? Are you coming in or are you coming out?
I thought you were telling me to kindly piss off.
No, never.
Piss off. I got one more. Bird Carries, he said, ask Hill about the chest tattoo. So is there an interesting story behind the chest tattoo?
Man, that's actually funny because I was with my chef. I can know my chef Ian is here. We were riding through the old neighborhood when I first moved into Michigan, when I first came to Grand Rapids. And that's what it is. The thumbs up. Like, so it's the north side. I grew up on the north side here. And that's what we do from the north side. Thumbs up for the north.
Oh, nice, nice. Chef, what was his name again? Chef Gary?
Chef Ian Gary.
Oh, Chef.
What the fuck?
No, what did you
Ian
say?
Larios. He just...
Chef Gary, right? Yeah. What is the Chef Gary speciality? Because when you're in training camp and you're trying to slim down, and you were a big old boy for a little bit there, Jamal, but it sounds like the weight's going good. You got the personal chef. Life is good. You're the champion of the world. You know fine. What?
I was gonna save this, Mike. I was gonna save this, but I think I'm gonna get this for the Believe You Mears.
Let's right? do it. Six pack.
Let them see what it's like.
Oh, let's go.
Ugh. Yeah, we not little no more. We not fat.
You're not fat. You look good, brother. You look good. That's a better angle, though. A second ago, the up angle. That wasn't doing the bellies any favor. Look at that shit.
It's just the way it's built right there. It's one part.
I never want to see that part. Ever again.
That was crazy.
Oh, shit. Hey, what's the chef knocking up? What is the go-to meal from the chef?
There's no go-to, man. He's versatile. The go-to meal for me, honestly, he makes this Peruvian dish that I like. I keep forgetting what it's called, but it's really, really good. And I like that.
All right. All right. Well, listen, I'll let you get back to the training, the Peruvian food, the flexing, the biceps, the lot. Hey, Jamal, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate you, brother. I'll see you there in Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. See you.
All right, man. Take care. All right, there he is, the champ, Jamal Sweet Dreams Hill, giving us quite the perspective there. You know what I mean? Look, taking his top off. From the up angle, I thought to myself, you don't look in the best shape, but when he brought it up, it all looks different. It's all in the angles. It's all in the perspective. That's why I look like shit today, because I'm in a hotel and my angles and perspectives are all over the place. Harrington, what is your excuse?
I don't know, dude. I'm born this way. Really, I'm Lady Gaga, dude. Baby, I'm born this way.
Welcome to the show, everybody, and a big thanks to the champ, Jamal Hill. He's rightly very confident. You know, that's what you've got to be like. You know, you can't look at somebody like Alex Pereira and you've got to respect, you know, what he's achieved in the sport, but also at the same time, you can't put them on a pedestal. You know what I'm saying? So I look forward to that one. Very, very excited. I am currently in Atlantic City, New Jersey for the fights this weekend. Got here late last night, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just saying that the guy that picked me up from the airport, it's about an hour's drive to Atlantic City, as you probably know, Harrington, being kind of from the area. The driver was a very nice guy, very nice guy, very chatty, considering it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and I was exhausted and I'd taken two flights, but he was a lovely guy. And then he farted and it stunk out the entire car. It really, it was so bad. It was so bad, and it lingered forever. And I, in the end, I had to put the window down. Do you know what I mean? Because it was so bad. But then it was clearly obvious because no one was talking about it. You don't address it. You've just met the guy. You don't go, bro, have you just farted? Do you know what I mean? But when I put the window down, like, it's clearly obvious what was going on. Then I put it back up, and then it was still there. I had to put it back down again. So anyway, there's the toughest thing going on in my life right now. Things are sweet. So we've got a few things to talk about. We had some big fight bookies. I don't know why I mentioned that. Anyway, there you go. There you go. We've all been there, though. It's bloody horrible. But it is a natural bodily function. But you try and do it not in public, right, Harrington?
Yeah, but I mean, also, if I'm driving a car and I'm doing that, I discreetly put the window down and hope that the breaking of the seal of the window sound covers my fart.
Well, I wasn't planning on having this conversation, but sometimes, you know, you probably think you're safe to squeeze out a little cheeky one. Do you know what I mean? And it'll be fine. But often those ones, silent but deadly, you know what I mean? So anyway, swiftly moving on. Yesterday, Dana White announced Saudi Arabia, the one and only Khamzat Chimaev will be returning against Robert Whittaker. The only possible matchup that we never discussed on Monday. We discussed Sean versus Khamzat. We discussed Sean versus Whittaker, but we never discussed Khamzat versus Whittaker. Tremendous fight. Makes a lot of sense in the middleweight division. However, if I'm not mistaken, this will be the first five-round scheduled bout for Khamzat Chimaev.
Not first one scheduled, but probably the first one he's actually going to make it to. Because remember, he was scheduled for a main event against Nate Diaz and then missed it by about 10 pounds or so.
Yeah, sure. But so the first five-round fight that he's been in, which automatically, if you're in the corner of Khamzat Chimaev, you got to be concerned. One thing Robert Whittaker is not going to do is run out of gas. He's very, very experienced, fighting at the highest level for the long time. Without getting into the X's and O's, the obvious thing is Khamzat always gasses. He's a tremendous force of nature. I mean, the way he takes people down and dominates them right from the opening bell. I mean, he did the same thing against Kamaru Usman. Granted, didn't get the finish, but he definitely did slow down against Gilbert Burns. Same thing. He had a great round one. Two and three were kind of close. Five rounds against somebody like Robert Whittaker. If he can't finish him early, that could be a disastrous night for him in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Ben, that was my initial thought too. But then what immediately popped into my head after is, like, if Robert Whittaker gets beaten, typically, you know, it's in like that first round, right? That first, second round. I mean, obviously we saw like Yoel hit him with you know, thunder and dropped him, and Whittaker was able to recover and win that fight. But I mean, in the Izzy fight, it was an early knockout, the DDP fight, early knockout. So it's like he is a little susceptible to these super fast starters, you know, who are willing to put the pedal to the metal. And it's like, if you're going to do it against anyone, Robert Whittaker makes the most sense, because, you know, over 25 minutes, he's probably going to find a way to gain the upper hand and win that fight. So empty the gas tank early and hope for the best, Khamzat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you were kind of a conspiracy theorist, you could make it both ways. You could say, well, they've made this fight so Robert Whittaker can win because, you know, he can't go five rounds. But then on the flip side, you can make it, well, they've made this fight in Saudi Arabia because Khamzat's Muslim. And in the first round or two, Robert Whittaker is susceptible and no one's as dominant early as Khamzat Chimaev. The reality is it's a bloody fight and anything can happen. And it's a good fight. It's a very, very good fight. Some other fights on that card as well, right, Harrington?
Yeah, we have Ihor, no.
Kataria?
Yes, fighting, we got Sergey Pavlovich versus Alexander Volkov.
Should we just do that little bit again?
Please, dude.
I did that bit outright, if you don't mind, buddy. So that's the main event, but what else have we got on that card, Harrington?
Sergey Pavlovich versus Alexander Volkov. Nice little heavyweight scrap there. Kelvin Gastelum versus Daniel Rodriguez. Johnny Walker versus Volkan Oezdemir. And Shara Bullitt versus Ihor Potaria.
Mr. One Eye Pirates himself.
That's a hell of a card, dude. No, that is a stacked fight night.
No, it really is. It really is. And Jamal Hill, you never know. Him versus Magomed Ankalaev, they could happen on there as well. All right, today's episode is sponsored by Mando Whole Body Deodorant, and that is here to fix your problem if you are a bit of a smelly one, okay? If you're suffering from BO, okay, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to smell that, okay? And I feel for you. I do. And a lot of deodorants out there, they just mask it. They don't fix the root problem. They just mask the symptoms, okay? But your body still is pumping out all of that. Pumping out all that body odor. Okay, well, the whole body deodorant from Mando is safe to use anywhere on your body, and it is clinically proven to stop odor for 72 hours because it was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal body odor was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. As I say, some deodorants, they just try and mask the odor with the fragrance. Well, Mando is formulated and powered by mandelic acid, which actually stops the odor being created. It stops it being made before it even starts, okay? It's like a pre-odorant, okay? So Mando Whole Body Deodorant, this stuff is all natural, 100%. It is organic. It is fragrance, oil-free. It is dermatologist-tested. And it smells fantastic. There's a bunch of different varieties there for you. So if you've got a problem with body odor, take control today with Mando. Stop the creation of that odor for up to 72 hours, okay? So right now, go to shopmando.com and use the code BELIEVE to get $5 off your starter pack, which is equivalent to 40% off. One more time, shopmando.com. The code is BISPINK for $5 off the starter pack. That is over 40% off. Anyway, so that's UFC Saudi Arabia. I'll be there. I just got the email today to book my flight details. So looking forward to that one. That's a great fight card. Also, Dana just announced that the fact that the UK has two champions now, they will be coming back to the UK. My question is, who goes top of the bill, right? Because you got to think, if Tom and Leon are going to be on the same card, right? One's an undisputed champion, one's an interim champion, but one's a heavyweight. Right. But they're both rematches. If it is Bilal versus Leon, and we don't know if it is going to be that, but, you know, Bilal is going to go mental if he doesn't get that title fight, but it is a rematch. Tom versus Curtis Blaydes. That's also a rematch. So if you were the matchmaker, Harrington, and I can't believe I'm even asking this question, but if you were the matchmaker, who you put in main event?
I mean, I think there is no better cherry on top to the disrespecting Bilal Muhammad Sunday than putting him in the co-main event when he finally gets his title shot.
Stick him on the prelims. Oh, God. Oh, God. No, but all jokes aside, I think Leon being undisputed, he's got to go there. And Tom as the interim. You know what I mean?
Okay. I mean, on the flip side, though, as you said, one is a heavyweight. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, when you're talking about what that fight poster is going to look like, when you're trying to sell out, you know, the O2 arena or wherever, whatever big arena they're doing this in, having Tom Aspinall opposite somebody the size of Curtis Blaydes visually is just going to do a better job of selling that fight, despite Leon having the undisputed title.
Yeah, but number one, it doesn't matter on a poster. You can make Leon look bigger than Tom if you wanted to. You know, that's why people think Conor McGregor is gigantic. I keep having to remind them when I speak. I spoke to some guy on the plane last night. He said, he's big. I said, mate, he's a bit bigger these days. I said, he's not big per se. The man's 5'8". Do you know what I mean? But in terms of selling out whatever stadium it's going to be, Tom versus Curtis Blaydes has already happened. It's already happened in the UK. So regardless, listen, it's two tremendous fights. Two tremendous fights indeed. What else is going on in the world of mixed martial arts, Hamilton? What have we got before we get to a non-MMA story?
So big fight booking, or not fight booking, but announcement. Remember the UFC signed that deal with Perth, Australia last year. They're going to bring like a certain number of cards over a certain amount of time over there. And they've announced they're going to this year in August, UFC 305. And the rumors are heavy already that is going to be Dricus du Plessis versus Israel Adesanya.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Dricus has got to defend the belt, won it in January. So what would that be? August? That'd be 7 months in between. It's about time. You know what I mean? The only person then out of the top five, if you will, that isn't booked is Sean Strickland. Hamzat Whitaker, Dricus, Sean. Dricus, Izzy. Sean's probably going to get a matchup soon, but... that's awesome. I was gutted when I saw that because I've got Australian family. Mm-hmm. I've got one of my best friends in the whole world, Jacko, lives in Perth. I was like, a free trip to Perth to see friends and family? But no, I won't be calling that one. Sadly, you know, kind of have it all your own way. Izzy versus Drickus, that's an interesting one as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is, like, you know, for all the talk and everything, like, they're really, they did a good job of selling me that fight, right? Like, when Izzy and Drickus were in the cage opposite each other and talking, you know, some pretty colorful language, be that what it will, I'm sold on that fight. I genuinely do believe there's bad blood there, and I don't think there's bad blood between Drickus and anybody else in that division. So, yeah, give me all that you can get.
Yeah, well, there might be bad blood between Sean and Drickus now as well.
Okay.
You know,
I feel like they buried the hatchet on that.
No, I don't know. Well, they buried the hatchet. They had the fight, mm-hmm. and then Sean started, like, complaining that he thought he won the fight. And then Drickus said on his Instagram, responded to him, "Why don't you cry about it again?" Do you know what I mean? Which was a very, very good comeback. If you want to go there, if you want to talk shit, if you want to live by the sword and die by the sword, dick to dick, nipple to nipple, then that's what you get. Fair play. Speaking of Sean Strickland, who's mm-hmm. been talking about him recently? I saw you put something Colby in the Covington. Notes here. Covington, tell the people, what has he been saying? Because I never saw this.
Yeah, I mean, this was a shocker to me. Colby Covington, he was doing an interview, and he was talking about, you know, just generally the state of things. And he said he had some pretty choice words about Sean Strickland. Said he couldn't hang at 170, kept getting knocked out. And he has so much. I mean, do you want to just play the clip?
Yeah,
let's wash out my division. He couldn't handle it. My division. He got beat up, knocked out. You know, so he had to leave divisions because he couldn't cut it. So, you know, I think he's a bum. He's been hit in the head too many times. He's got CTE. So.
Straight up.
Yeah, straight up. Anything that guy says, you can't follow along. That guy's going to end up literally probably killing someone someday. He's under investigation right now in Vegas. Some drunk guy was wandering the streets in Las Vegas, like near his home. He goes outside the home, pistol whips the dude in the middle of the street. And so he's under like crazy investigation in Vegas right now. He's going to be going to court. So wow. We're really going to take that guy's opinion on something.
Really?
Well, I think the incident that he's talking about is probably the one that we all saw. Where the guy, what did he do? He'd beaten up his wife or something like that and then was running down the street. Sean goes out. I didn't see him pistol whip him, but I did see him pull the gun out. So who knows about that? But for Colby to say that he couldn't hack it in the division. All right, granted, he wasn't at the top of the food chain, if you will, at the welterweight division, but he moved up. Because I remember Sean Strickland when I used to train with him years ago at Mark Munoz's place. I forget. He was fighting at middleweight initially. And then he said, "You guys are all monsters. You're too big. I'm going down to 170. And I thought, Sean, you're out of your mind. 170, you're about the same size as me, give or take, you know. And then, but he did it. He made 170 multiple times. And I would see him in the gym and he would be walking around like he had a very, very serious illness. He was so skinny, you know what I mean? So it's not surprising that he got caught by the likes. I think it was Elize Zaleski dos Santos, right, that caught him with a spinning wheel kick. You know what I mean? When you're cutting that much weight, you can't take a shot, like I always say. But, you know, Colby Covington is going to Colby Covington. So I think he might be talking out of his ass there. Who knows? That remains to be seen. And one last bit of news in the fight announcements before we move on to whatever dubious story Harrington has concocted for us. Darren Till, the gorilla, right? A lot of people say that I'm misguided or misjudged when it comes to my confidence in Darren Till. I still say Darren Till, if he came back, you're going to come for me, could come back and become a champion in the UFC. That is the kind of ability that this man has. Remember when he fought Drickus du Plessis? He had Drickus on the back foot for a while. Granted, he got finished. Granted, it didn't start well, but I think it was round two or three before he got finished. He was doing very, very well against
Heading into that third round, Darren Till was like a minus 400 favorite on the live line with the bookies. Like, he was supposed to win that fight after round two.
There you go. Thank you very much. So anyway, rumors have come out that he's going to be fighting none other than the boxing extraordinaire boxer, whatever it is, the bloody wannabe, the jumping Jack Flash doer in the middle of a fight, the one and only KSI. The reason I say jumping Jack Flash, remember he was doing jumping jacks when he was mm-hmm. fighting Tyson Fury and then launching in. Not a technique I've seen before. Hopefully not one I'll see again.
Hey, man, you trained the guy.
I did train the guy. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy, KSI. He's all right. I got nothing against him. But that fight against Tommy Fury was bullshit. He lost that. And we don't know if this is true, but the rumors are Darren Till, KSI, July, venue yet to be announced. And I'm telling you right now, Darren Till will murder KSI. No offense to KSI, as I just said, nice guy. Darren Till will absolutely destroy this man, but more importantly, I'm happy for Darren. It's good to see that. Hopefully this comes off. He'll be making some decent money. It'll give him something to train for, get back in the gym, remind the world of how good he is and what the man is capable of. So all the best to him for him there. Harrington, you put something in the notes about Ozempic. Okay. Now, for anyone that doesn't know, Ozempic is this life-changing drug that is causing people to lose a lot of weight. Okay, and it works. It really does work. I see people, I hear about the results all the time. It's advertised on TV nonstop in America, I see. But what is this latest iteration, if you will?
So some people are really into the effects of Ozempic without the, you know, getting shots and going to doctors, getting prescriptions, the loss of buccal fat that comes with it, et cetera, et cetera. So they are they've come up with like an alternative. Right. It's a TikTok trend. It's being called Ozempic. The idea is you take instant oats, you mix it up with some water and some freshly squeezed lime juice, and you drink that. And that, just like Ozempic, will lower your A1C and lead to significant weight loss. One woman claimed 40 pounds, and I believe it was like 2 months or something like that.
Yeah. So.
So are they telling us that you don't need to take experimental drugs to lose weight and all you have to do is watch what you eat? Weird.
Yeah, exactly. Who would have thunk it? You know what I mean? I don't think that by that, that's essentially porridge, what we call it in the UK, oats with water, right? A lot of carbs in that. I would not listen to this latest TikTok challenge. If you want to lose weight at a ridiculous fashion and you don't want to be disciplined, get on the bloody Ozempic if you can get it. I just saw, speaking of diets, you might have saw this, Brian, just Google this. They're saying now that intermittent fasting, doing the 8 hours of eating window and then the 16 hours of fasting, has been linked to a massive increase in heart disease.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I mean, I've known that.
It's bullshit.
No.
Intermittent fasting will cause heart disease.
Yeah, I mean, it's I've just heard from, you know, for years, the one downside of intermittent fasting, it's bad for long-term heart health.
That is, and what are you basing that on? Because I'm no heart scientist, as we know, but that is bullshit. But that is absolute, number one, an 8-hour window, that is a long enough window, right? That is, let's just say you had your first meal at 12 o'clock, that's having your last one at 8. Let's say you had your first one at 9, that's having your last one at 5. Okay, breakfast at 9. Lunch at 12, dinner at 5. You're telling me that's going to give you heart disease? And then let's go back to when man evolved, right? And food was not as plentiful. You couldn't just go to your fridge or a drawer. You couldn't walk into a 7-Eleven or a gas station and buy some shit, okay? Buy some processed food, buy some chips, buy some sodas, buy stuff that's going to really give you heart disease, okay? Right? We were fine then. There was no heart disease back then. Maybe there was, but not like now. Okay, this is a bullshit scheme, and I'm sounding like Brian to get people to continue eating more shit, more food, and contribute to the medical industry. Because guess what? Eating less food in this modern day and age, it should be mandated almost. I don't mean mandated, but we all overindulge. It's as simple as that. We consume far too many calories.
Well, I would say that this is one of those correlation is not causation situations, right? Like, just because people are fasting, we're not looking at any other outliers in their diets or in their lifestyle for them to be like, this is the thing that's causing a 91% increase in heart disease. It's like scientific illiteracy to
no, of course,
to, you know.
Yeah, it's like my brother Adam. He's a data analysis. Yeah. Data analyst or something for the army. I said, what do you do? He said, oh, yeah. And he said, basically, you know, he collects a lot of data. He said, but you got to be careful because it can be skewed very, very easily. Take it from a certain subsect of people. Yeah. Let's analyze what they're doing. You know, so we'll take a bunch of people that are intermittent fasting, but they're also smoking 20 cigarettes a day. Amongst those people, well, there's an increase in heart disease. It's bullshit. How is eating less food going to be bad for your heart? Harrington, you are defending this movement. Explain. Just, I know you're not a doctor, but why are you initially inclined to believe that this will be true?
because I watch like a decent amount of YouTube videos on the subject, which I feel like is everybody's public university at this point.
Sure, sure.
And I have heard like actual cardiologists come on and say that, right? Because it's like you don't have blood, you know, pumping in your stomach to be dealing with like the breakup of the food. And then all of a sudden you have all like you take in all your food in this short window and your heart is asked to, you know, do the job to pump that much blood out to get it sorted and moving throughout your system. And then it goes dormant again. Instead of it, like, you know, continuously working, you're shutting it off and turning it back on a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's interesting. And I haven't seen that video, but I have seen some videos. Dr. Eric Berg, I think, is one of them that I watch quite a lot. He's a very, very skilled guy, certainly doesn't seem to have an agenda of any kind. And he talks about intermittent fasting and the benefits of it. And generally what people say, and this is seems to be the general consensus against people that are skilled and knowledgeable in this area, which, of course, me and you are not. We are just regurgitating things we've heard. Mm-hmm. From learned people, to be fair, is that when you're not breaking down food in your stomach, the body can then do other things. And that's why it's absolutely crucial in battling potentially cancerous cells, you know, because when you're not breaking down food, the body can do other things. But of course, that's why cancer's booming. This is one of the reasons, or one of the hypotheses, is one of them. Is that we're always eating, we're always consuming, and the body's just always breaking down food and therefore can't contain all the free radicals in the system. Very sciencey.
And you know what? Honestly, I would choose heart disease over cancer any day of the week, right? Like, you going out like a badass, just your heart just stopping in the middle of you, like, I don't know, whatever, walking the kid to the park, who cares? That's the way to go. A long, drawn-out battle with cancer? Nightmare.
No, well, cancer, I mean, is not good. It's not good. My dad had a quintuplet heart bypass. 5 bypasses. You know what I mean? He's had a bad heart over the years. I remember when I was about 10, I came home from school, he had his first heart attack and I was starving and there was no one in the house. And I asked someone from school, I said, can you lend me 20p so I can buy a chocolate bar? And they went, get your own. I said, oh, come on, my dad's had a heart attack. And they were like, you'll say anything to borrow 20p. I'm like, he's in a bloody hospital. He's had a heart attack. And then years later, he had a quintuplet heart bypass. And it's crazy. That's where they, you know, they basically use a chainsaw, if you will, cut open the chest, pull the rib cage apart. It's just wild what they can do. Yeah. So I don't know. Heart disease isn't to be laughed at. And if you want to take medical advice, don't take it from Harrington and don't take it from me. We are just regurgitating YouTube videos. But eat less, work out, exercise, have a balanced diet. Don't just have loads of oatmeal with water and whatever else it said on TikTok, right? Probably don't take Ozempic and any of these drugs. Try and be drug-free. But exercise, that's the main one. When's the last time you worked out, Harrington?
Probably right before my last fight.
Okay.
Like that's the reason I keep agreeing to do these, because it's like, oh, then I know I have to go to the gym.
Yeah, but how about just go for a run instead? How about... just go for it. I feel anxious if I don't work out that day.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because it clears my head. I like to start my, I have my coffee in my morning, then I've got to go for a run or some form of cardio, whether it's the stationary bike. I said Peloton bike a few times recently. I saw people in the comments going, Bisping keeps promoting Peloton. I'm not promoting Peloton, but I've got one. So I call it a Peloton bike. If you want me to call it exercise bike, or a stationary bike, I will do that. But still, I do I'd that and I lift.
I said I'd prefer it.
Yeah. Well, I'm calling it Peloton all the time. Today's episode is sponsored by Shopify, which is the e-commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. So whatever it is that you're selling, whatever your business is, you want to be online and you want to do it cost efficient. Now, thinking about starting a website, building a website, paying somebody for the website, then being able to take payments online. That all sounds very, very time consuming, complicated, and not to mention expensive. Well, not anymore. Not with Shopify. Shopify makes it extremely easy. Instantly, you can sell across all social media marketplaces like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. It's packed with industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth. Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without having to learn any new skills in design or code. And by the way, there is a 24/7 help and an extensive business library course available to you as well. Shopify is there to support your success every single step of the way. So listen, if you're not online, you've got to get serious about your business today, and you've got to do it with Shopify. As I say, it is extremely easy, right? And it's extremely cheap. Time to get serious, guys. Sign up for $1 per month for a trial period at shopify.com/believe. That is $1 per month for a trial period at shopify.com/believe, all lowercase. As I say, take your business to the next level. Start selling to the entire world online. Do it for $1 per month at shopify.com/believe. Anyway, right, so what else is going on? So Colby Covington wasn't just speaking about Sean Strickland. He was talking about Ian Garry as well, right?
So Colby Covington said, because Ian Garry hasn't met any of the three stipulations that he put out in that initial video, Colby Covington has no reason to go down the rankings to fight Ian Garry. So I guess until he does those things, that fight's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, look, listen, at the end of the day, I mean, Colby Covington's got some work to do. Right. To be fair, you know, regardless whether or not, I mean, number one, Ian's not going to adhere to those stipulations. Those stipulations are ridiculous. Ian came back with his own stipulations as well, which was kind of silly. Let's just be honest. I think as a fan, we probably all want to see those matchups. But you know what I mean? There's this whole refusing to fight somebody below you. You know, you can't that can't be the way. If everybody said that, if everybody stuck to their guns and said, I'm not fighting somebody ranked below me, then we're going to struggle to see any fights happen. That's just the way it goes. I mean, look at the champion. The champion, technically, is always fighting somebody that's ranked below him. You know, we had it for a while. There was Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier and some of the top of the lightweight division. There was people saying that they're just kind of going round and round in circles. Of course, Justin Gaethje proved his worth against Rafael Fiziev. Poirier just did it against Benoit Saint-Denis. So sometimes you gotta fight beneath you, so to speak, and I use that term loosely, because it keeps you busy, it keeps you active, it keeps you generating income, which is predominantly why we all do this. You know, I understand we want to be champions. When you sign with the UFC, you should be thinking, you know, title aspirations. When you get on a win streak, like Ian Garry is right now, you know, you should then start to think, hold on a minute, these title aspirations are real. You know what I mean? I'm backing it up. I'm doing big things. He should be looking for Colby Covington. Colby should be looking for redemption against another big star like Ian Garry. And to be honest, the fact that them two aren't fighting, as I've said before, I find kind of crazy. But Ian Garry's doing the same thing to MVP. We spoke about this on Monday. You know what I mean? You can't just pick and choose your battles. I mean, to be honest, in the welterweight division, who is there? You got Leon's the champ. Then you got Kamaru.
Who I think is going to be at 185, no?
Yeah. I mean, he's still ranked number one. Bilal's probably taken. Shavkat, I don't think he's fighting Jack Della Maddalena. There's Colby. Then there's Jack. Then there's Gilbert. And then there's Ian. You know what I'm saying? So they're kind of running out of potential matchups. But, you know, regardless.
And it's like, I mean, Ian Garry, to be fair, he's on the win streak, right? Like, he is on the ascension. So he probably shouldn't be fighting back in the rankings. Colby Covington has now lost, what, two in a row or two out of his last two, something like that. He is not in a position where he can negotiate and say, I'm not fighting down the line. You're in the position where you need to fight down the line, or else you're just going to get leapfrogged for your spot anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you just forget about Colby Covington and Ian Garry, I mean, if they don't fight each other, Ian Garry, who's he going to fight? It's either Jack Della Maddalena or Gilbert Burns or Shavkat Rakhmonov. You know what I'm saying? Any one of those three, they're all very, very serious, tough matchups. But to be fair, you know, to each one of those guys, that could be an unofficial number one contender matchup. Granted, Gilbert just lost, right? He lost to Jack Della Maddalena, so he would be out of the contention anytime soon. But Shavkat Rakhmonov, Jack Della Maddalena, and Ian Garry, I think whoever wins, or just one more win for either one of them, whoever wins between Bilal and Leon, you got to think. That's probably they're probably next next in line for a shot at the belt. And speaking of fighting down in the rankings, go on, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think that's why Jack made the call out of Shafkat, because it's like then that kind of eliminates any kind of question marks. These are two of the top three guys in the division. We actually fought each other. I came out on top. I must be the number one contender now.
Yeah, and that's why you got to respect Jack Della Maddalena. Do you know what I mean? Nobody's calling out Shafkat Rakhmonov. In fact, did you see, speaking of Shafkat, he put a little reel out on Instagram recently, and it showed, was it Shafkat? Because this doesn't seem like his style, but he put a little clip out and it showed Ian Garry backing up against Jeff Neal. And then it cuts to Jeff Neal, Shafkat, and Shafkat just having, you know, if it was him, it was edited well to show, you know, a lot of the big moments, finishing him, kneeing him, elbowing him, but going forward, advancing, being the aggressor, you know. Jack Della Maddalena calling him out. I mean, that guy's a real one. Speaking of fighting down in the rankings as well, this weekend, obviously I'm here in Atlantic City, which I'll be honest, I am sorry if anyone lives here in Atlantic City. I'm not impressed so far.
Dude, I thought you were going to be like, oh man, I'm blown away by how cool it is. And I was going to roll my eyes, man. That place is not great.
I'm not impressed. I mean, number one, the car driver farted on the way over. So my experience didn't get off to a good start. I got here late at night. I was starving. I ordered some DoorDash. That took forever. I sat at the hotel bar waiting for the DoorDash to come. I thought I timed it perfectly. When I check in to the DoorDash turning up, I had to wait for about 15 minutes at the bar, which was right by the front desk. Jesus Christ. Pretty ghetto. Do you know what I mean? It was rowdy. It was loud. There was a lot of ladies of the night. I think I was fielded for business about three times. I'm like, no, I'm fine. Thank you very much. Leave me alone. It's grim. It's pouring down. You look out my window. I can see the ocean, but you can't see any actual water because it's just gray, rainy, cold, shitty. But I'm sure I'm going to have a great time tonight. Anyway, speaking of which, co-main event and fighting down in the rankings, Luque, he's fighting Joaquin Buckley. You know, that's what made me think of this. Joaquin Buckley is a great fighter, but he's not yet ranked. Vincente Luque was supposed to fight Sean Brady. Sean Brady got injured. And Luque is just like, I need an opponent. I want to fight. I'll take on whoever. I will prove my spot, prove my worth. And he's taking on Joaquin Buckley. And I tell you what, I like Buckley. He came into the fight meetings today. Joaquin Buckley, he's got all the potential to be a real superstar, that guy. I mean, he went viral for that knockout of Impa Kasanganai, which was unbelievable. He's got a great personality. And, you know, up until kind of recently, he was training by himself. He said, I was training outside. And I thought he meant like outside of the clique, outside of like the MMA people. Do you know what I said? What do you mean training outside? Like outside with outsiders? He said, no, outside. I said, what do you mean outside? He said, outside, like at the park, in a field. I was training in a park or in a field. I'm like, you weren't training in the gym? He's like, no, not until a couple of years ago. I was like, holy shit.
Like with a coach, or you were just doing pull-ups in the park?
Just shadow boxing. Oh, dear. And then I tell you what, here's a good talking point for this weekend. Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman's fighting Bruno Silva. Chris Weidman, what a legendary career he had. Beating Anderson Silva, not once, but twice. Okay. Weird scenario with both of them. Defends the belt, I think, three times. He was the Brazilian killer. Beat Lyoto Machida, beat Vitor Belfort. I think there was a third one as well.
Was it Maya?
No, but regardless, when he beat Vitor Belfort, that wasn't the roided up version of Vitor Belfort, by the way. That was a used teabag version of Vitor Belfort. Who was the third?
It was Silva, because he beat Silva and then defended against him.
Anderson Silva, Vitor, and Lyoto Machida. But he snaps his leg against Chris Uriah Hall. Then when he comes back, he fights Brad Tavares last year. Breaks his good leg. Fractures his good leg when he fought Brad Tavares. So he thought he was done, but he's taking this fight. He's going to play it one step. If he loses, I believe there's a very good chance he's going to retire this weekend. He said he started his career here in Atlantic City back in the day. So this would be a nice place to retire. He said, I just want that moment. I thought I'd never fight again, but I want that moment where I get to put my gloves down. And I resonate with that. I understand that because I kind of wanted to do that. Even though my good eye was kind of messing up, I wanted to have that moment. But Bruno Silva is a dangerous opponent. He's got fantastic striking. Remember, you know, he's the guy that took Alex Pereira the distance. He's had some viral knockouts himself. He's got flying knees, et cetera, et cetera. He's also had some losses, but he's a dangerous guy for sure for Chris Weidman.
Yeah, I mean, including the, I think it was Sharabullet. Just got the decision against him his last time out. He's had some tough performances. It's funny you say that thing about Weidman, though, because I remember I was at the fight where he fought Gastelum in Long Island, which is like, you know, I mean, that's Sarah Longo's based out of there. And if anything, like I had that same thought going into that. Like if Chris Weidman loses this fight, he might just drop the gloves, middle of the octagon. You know, thanks to Long Island for all the memories. And now here we are, what, 6-7 years later, and we're still having that same conversation. So, you know, it's a tough fight, but I think Chris Weidman can turn the clock back one more time. I don't know if you saw, he was saying his team says that if he actually like committed to it and went for it and really pushed it, he could get to the top of the mountain again.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, listen, I want to agree with you. And I'm not saying he can't win this fight. I truly believe he can win this fight. Stylistically, I think it favors Chris. He's a tremendous wrestler. He's a big middleweight. I'm just trying to find something to just let everyone know. Hold on. Here we go. A little plug for Chris. I'm going to go to the gym in a minute in case you saw. I've got my shorts on.
What?
Trinity Gold. This is Chris Weidman's supplement company that he's launched. And it's herbal daily supplements. He was telling me all about it. And this is how he's been able to train, he said. He said he hooked up with some Indian doctor that was giving him all that kind of natural supplements and whatnot. And he said his body just felt tremendous. All his aches and pains went away. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Hold on. Is this your company? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you're just giving us the sales pitch. And then he came and gave us all samples. So anyway, there it is. I took some, actually. It's what is it? It's got all the usual suspects. Ashwagandha, Shavtavaran, Kavachi seed.
Oh, it's got Kavachi seed.
Fenugreek seed. Papali, Guiduchi, Shilajit, God Kishora, and something. So there you go. If you want some, that sounds like a lot of mushrooms and a lot of goodness, to be honest.
How's your neck feeling since you took it?
What's that?
How's your neck feeling since you took it?
Well, I'll be honest, it's not too bad. My neck, I've been living in a lot of pain recently. This neck situation is driving me absolutely bloody crazy. I had the ablation and it's just got worse. It's just got worse. And funnily enough, when I was flying here yesterday, sat next to a guy, he had a neck ablation and he's got worse as well. And I spoke to my local GP and he said, ablations don't work. They don't work. Anyway, whatever. We don't want to get into that. This fight card this weekend, Aaron Blanchfield, Manon Fiore, top of the bill. That's a great fight. You got Fiore, that's a very, very good striker, beautiful striking. And then on the flip side, Blanchfield, very, very good at taking people down and submitting them. I can't give a prediction. Who do you think wins that one, Harrington, seeing as you love women's MMA?
I do, and I love Erin Blanchfield. She's from Fairlawn, New Jersey. I've been to the same gym she's trained at. You know, she is a star on the rise in my part of the country. And I'll tell you, I made the god-awful mistake of putting way too much money on Jessica Andrade the last time they fought. And I said right then and there, I'm never betting against Erin Blanchfield again. Like, you know, I saw this Manon Fiore being you know, the underdog that she is. And it's like, I don't see it because she's done everything you can do. She beat Caitlin Chookagian, who was like the consensus, always the number one ranked, right below Valentina, the top gatekeeper, turned everyone else away, beat her done and dusted, no problem. Rose Namajunas in France, no problem. But there's something about this Erin Blanchfield girl where it's like if she gets a hold of you, she's getting you down and she will submit you. And it's a little one dimensional, but man, it's effective.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard to disagree other than her last fight against Tyler Santos. She did struggle to get her down. She did win, but I do think she will learn a lot in that battle. Anyway, best of luck. As I say, it's a good fight card, though, this weekend. But Chris Weidman, I'm very, very much looking forward to that. He's 39 years old. That's where I was going. He's 39. It's not just the leg breaks. It's not the fact that he snapped a leg, fractured the other leg. You know, he's been struggling to get the wins because he's fighting top of the food chain. The body's falling apart. His neck's hurting him. His legs are bloody falling apart. And he's almost 40. You know what I'm saying? So best of luck to him this weekend. But I do think if he loses, and I don't know if he does, I think he might win. You know, who knows? It could be the last time we ever see Chris Weidman, which would be the end of an era. You know, kind of like my, he's going to be one of the last ones from my era. You know, I'm talking Rockhold, Anderson Silva, Gegard Mousasi, myself. Who else was there?
Jacare.
Jacare, you know.
Yoel.
Yoel Romero. Well, saying that, well, Whittaker came in at the tail end. You know.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time where you and Whittaker were maybe going to fight, but I still consider Whittaker like the very start of that next generation. Like, correct. He's the old head in the Izzy generation, you know?
Whittaker's still only in like 31, 32, I think. Anyway, Harrington, I'm just looking at the notes here, and I'm curious. I am curious by this. The British Museum is suing a former curator for allegedly stealing over 1,800 artifacts from the museum to sell online.
Yeah, exactly that. He was a curator who was, you know, in charge of these exhibits at the museum. And they say over the course of many years, he was just grabbing little things, just pocketed stuff, some gems, some priceless ancient artifacts, and then just throwing them on eBay, just hoping for the best.
That's, yeah, so basically the British Museum. So he was just stealing. Okay.
It was just, I mean, 100%.
You got away with it for a while. I mean, I guess if it's just little tiny ones, like if you go in the Natural History Museum, they've got a whole section on gems and stuff like that, like in glass cases, you know, little, one here, one there. That's not quite the story I thought it was going to be, but oh, well, I'll let you off. But thieving little bastard.
They have recovered 358 of the 1,800 items. So,
oh, they did. Cool. Yeah. Well,
dude, if you bought a thing off eBay, let's say you just bought some sapphire.
Still only 1,442 left to recover. So, you know, percentage-wise, they haven't done too well.
How pissed are you if you're one of those dudes who bought that on eBay? You're like, oh, here's a mummy toe. And they spend like 10 grand on it, and the cops just show up, and they're like...
What museum was it, Harrington?
It's just called the British Museum.
Okay, all right.
It's like the big museum.
Yeah, it seems like it. I don't know. I've been to, you know me, I'm always frequenting museums. It's probably Dave on the gem section.
It is gem section, Dave.
Gem section, Dave, the little bastard.
It's in Bloomsbury.
I've been to that. Yeah. That's, where is it? That's Trafalgar Square, I do believe. Anyway, let's do one more. Is there any other big stories we've got to get to? Shorter show today, everybody. As you can see, I'm in a hotel room. We'll talk about that in a second. All right, today's episode is sponsored by Prize Picks, which is the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. And they are the easiest and the most exciting way to play DFS, daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. You just pick more or less, and you can up to 25x your money. And listen, this weekend, basketball, we've got the Celtics taking on the Hawks, and this is how easy this game is to play. Derek Whitey, will he get more or less than 13.5 points? Jaylen Brown, will he get more or less than 22.5 points? And DeAndre Hunter, will he get more or less than 4 rebounds? As I say, it really is that simple. Prize Picks is really, really simple to play. As I said, there is quick withdrawals, there is easy gameplay, an enormous selection of plays and stat types of what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. So as I say, you can up to 25x your money with Prize Picks. So give it a shot. It really is that easy. More or less, it's fun, it's easy, it's simple, and we've got a great offer for you. Go to prizepicks.com/believe, use the code believe, and you will get a deposit match of up to $100. prizepicks.com/believe, the code is believe for the first deposit match of up to $100. More or less, that's it. More or less, it's that easy. prizepicks.com/believe. This was hilarious. Number 6. This was hilarious. We've got to play the video. So Dana White, sitting down doing a bunch of podcasts this week, speaking with TNT Sports Adam Cattrall, of course. Yep. And then he sat down with, apparently she was a former ESPN reporter, Sage Steele.
That's what we did.
Last question. What's Joe Rogan's dream?
What's Joe Rogan's dream?
Joe Rogan, Dana White. What's Dana White's dream?
Did you just think that was Joe Rogan?
I totally did.
She just called me fucking Joe Rogan.
You thought it was fucking Joe Rogan?
Yeah, I thought you were Joe Rogan.
I was
bald
before Joe was ever bald.
Okay? I know.
Listen to me.
Joe Rogan and Dana White are literally the only two.
So listen to this.
I will be. That I have the. Wait, let me finish. I have the respect for because of how you freaking stood up and support others. So thank forgive you. That. But wait.
So I will be walking down the.
Okay. First of all, why have they got no shoes on?
It's probably in her living room.
You can't track in dirt to the carpet, Mike.
Well, I kind of get annoyed when I walk in someone's house and you got to take the shoes off.
All right, don't ever come to my house then.
Yeah. Well, did you take your shoes off at my house?
No, because you don't have a shoes off rule at your house.
I don't have a shoes off rule at my house, you know, because I expect most people to not be walking through dog shit and have a decent cleanliness shoe about them. Granted, you know, and we mop up, we clean. You know what I mean? If, you know, but anyway, so they've got the shoes off. I think, and I don't want to ruin the bit, I think that was staged.
Yo, really? You think the person who has editorial control over an insanely embarrassing moment like that couldn't have just said?
Yeah, no, come on. That was bullshit because she started a new podcast from what I understand. So she wanted to get some little viral bit. It's doing the rounds everywhere on social media and whatnot, but it's pretty funny. And I like that's a good idea to try and get some headlines.
Yeah. You know what else is a pretty good idea? Dana White doing every podcast on earth except for Believe You Me, dude.
Yeah.
She called him Joe at the beginning of the interview, too.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, she thought he was Joe Rogan.
You never know. Maybe she was nervous. Bless her. I was going to say a second ago. So it looks like Karate Combat are heading to Dubai and Luke Rockhold will be getting back in the ring once again, taking on Joe Schilling. I'm not sure how old Joe is or Luke. Fair play to both of them. Fair play to Karate Combat. They're doing big things. I mean, that's cool that they're taking it out to Dubai. I'm sure they're all getting paid very, very handsomely for that as well. But Luke Rockhold, Joe Schilling, I think that's got all the makings to be a good fight. I mean, Luke is definitely, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? He's catered to that style of fighting. He's tall. He's a great kickboxer. He's good jiu-jitsu and stuff like that as well. But fair play to him getting back in there and having another go. How old is Joe? Did you look it up?
Joe Schilling is 40. Luke Rockhold is 39.
Yeah. It's crazy. Luke's still a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Still a young man, the bastard. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be a super fun fight. It's nice to see Joe Schilling in the news for something other than beating up unruly people at a bar. You know, like let's get him back fighting in the octagon.
Yeah. And did we speak about Brandon Moreno on Monday?
No, we did not.
Yeah. Go on then. Set the scene.
So Brandon Moreno said that he just needs to take some time off. He's not training. He's not going to be booking any fights. He said he's not retiring, but he needs a break to just recover mentally and physically.
Yeah, and I understand that. I understand him wanting to take a break, you know, but we see this a lot, and I'm trying to choose my words very carefully. I mean, he's had an unbelievable career. The man's been a champion. So he should try and look at it as a position of gratefulness, you know what I mean? Because he's in a position that a lot of people are killing to be in. You know, yes, he lost to Pantoja and then he lost to Royval, you know, but this is professional sports at the highest level. It's going to be taxing. It's going to be stressful. It's going to be tough to maintain the discipline. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, of course. I mean, yeah, granted, take a bit of time off and all the rest of it. And I hope he comes back bigger, better, stronger, rejuvenated, hungry, you know, but there's a lot of people on the prelims that are fighting just to keep their contract. A lot of people that want to be in a title fight, you know what I'm saying? So he smashed it. He's made tons of money. He's got the fame and the respect of the worldwide community. And I understand him wanting to take a break, but just don't sit on the sidelines too long.
Yeah, I mean, for somebody like him, I feel like he does have that cachet now, right? Like he's headlined multiple cards. He's been at the top of the bill. He has worn that belt multiple times now, and the two losses that he's had back to back were both split decisions, right? Whether that's bad judging or not, you know, like the end of the day, that's what they go down as. So he was this close to being holding and then defending his title two more times. So you know, I can see him wanting to take that step back. He's only 30 years old, right? And it's like, I'd much rather you take that break now than push yourself and rush into a fight against the number five guy when you might not be ready and your body's still busted up from four fights with Davison Figueiredo, then you, and you never got treatment for any of those injuries. You just kept pushing in the next fight. Mm. Take that career reset, and then you still have that window. If you take a year and a half off, you still have a window of 3.5 years before you're 35, which everyone has agreed is the drop-off point for these lighter weight guys. You still have a decent chunk of time in there that you can make a second run at the belt.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. And this isn't necessarily aimed at Brandon Moreno, because it's not, but, you know, when you lose a fight, you can't just give up on your career. And I know he's not saying that he's giving up, but, you know, looking for sympathy, you know what I mean? It's a tough sport. And that's what it is. It's a sport. Someone wins, someone loses. When you win and you celebrate, because it's not just Moreno, we're seeing it's kind of a trend recently. When people start losing fights, they say, oh, man, I can't handle this. It's like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to give up? And I'm not saying Moreno is, but there's a lot of people recently when they come out, they're trying to look for people. When they lose a fight, they're looking for sympathy. You know, it's like, well, you lost that fight. You have dished it out to many people many times, and you've been the cause. I'm not talking about Moreno, I'm meaning one. Whoever it is, has been the cause of people going home, beaten up, going to the hospital, losing half of their paycheck, hopes and dreams smashed to bits. But you've got to be man enough or woman enough and strong enough to keep going. I mean, you got to remember that this is why we start this career. You know what I mean? For a lot of people, it's a lifelong journey. You start martial arts as a kid. For other people, they have a harder path, a harder entry. Sometimes their combat sports lifestyle chooses them because they didn't have many options in life, you know? Listen, I wish him all the best. I do. I'm a fan of Brandon Moreno. I really am, you know, but I'm not a fan. And this is, again, not aimed at him. Just people, when they lose, you know, kind of feeling sorry for themselves a little bit. You know, you can't do that. You know, you can't. You got to give it and you got to be able to take it. You got to be the hammer and the nail. You got to be a tough guy after a win or a loss. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm not saying anything bad about him. Brandon's an incredible fighter. Anything else before we do a quick question or two?
So there's a bit of a tie into that, actually. So Max Holloway said that the reason that he accepted the Justin Gaethje fight is because he didn't want to wait on the sidelines. He said he knew if Ilya beat Volkanovski, no matter how dominant of a victory it was for Ilya, the title was probably going to be held up in an immediate rematch type of thing. And Holloway said, at that point, then I'm on the sidelines for a year. This game doesn't wait for anyone. It will pass you by. I need to take this fight instead and make my own opportunities.
And that's, you got to respect Max Holloway for that. I mean, that's phenomenal to hear because he's absolutely right. You know, how many times have we seen this happen where people sit out on the sidelines waiting for this fight, waiting for what they feel they deserve, you know, and sometimes people do deserve what's coming to them. Sometimes, you know, they are justified in thinking, I'm going to wait this one out, but you never know what's going to happen. And he's absolutely right. Volkanovski and Topuria are going to do a rematch, you know, and who knows, if Volkanovski wins that, then they're definitely going to do a rubber match. So in the whole time, Holloway, pardon me, is sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, wasting his time, wasting his prime, not making money, twiddling his thumbs. What's some other examples of where people have sat out on the sidelines?
I mean, Tyron Woodley sat out for like 2 years and got a title shot off of it. Colby just did the same thing.
Yeah,
trying to think of ones where it didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm looking for ones where it didn't work out. I mean, there was one recently with the middleweight division. Who was that?
Izzy? I mean, Izzy?
Something to do with Izzy and Strickland and Drakus. I don't know which one did it, but there was one there. Anyway, whatever.
Oh, Drakus passed up the quick turnaround. Strickland got it, and Strickland went and won the title.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, whatever. The sport moves on with or without you. Generally, you want it to be with you. You want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of the show. And you want to keep making money. Anyway, that's it. We're going to do some questions now, which is our favorite part of the show. If you have a question about anything, don't make it about MMA. Non-MMA is better. Send it in to bympod@gmail.com.
If you're listening on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps out on those platforms.
If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed to the channel and hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want to catch over 500 episodes, you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free, totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM14. Get a 2-week free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right, so first one today, not so much a question, but it is more of a request from Roland Vixen.
Oh, nice.
Hello. This is Roland Vixen from Germany. Mike, I'm very disappointed. You recently apologized for saying something so beautiful that you should be saying it at least once every episode. And you say it like once every month now and you apologize? That's crazy. Please start saying it again at least once every episode. And by it, I mean three magical words. No man alive.
No man alive should be recording a message into the phone looking so creepy. Roland Vixen. Oh, Jesus Christ. No, I know. I did go a bit of a mental no man alive mission tirade wave, whatever you want to call it, for quite some time. I'm like, I'm gonna rein this in, but it just I don't know, became a habit. We're bringing it back. I'm bringing out no man alive merch. I am, actually. I'm working on it.
We're so gonna get sued by John Fury.
Yeah, dude, you're the next victim up for Gypsy John.
No man alive can sue. No man alive can sue anyone, right? For saying those words, unless he's trademarked it, which I don't think he has, but you know what I mean.
Nah, dude, he gypsy trademarked it. He said it at a press conference. That means he can fight you if you use it.
Yeah. You know, John Fury's been kind of quiet lately. I'm sad. I saw him with Anthony Joshua. He was super polite and respectful. They had a really nice interaction, you know, before and after. I like the crazy John Fury. Granted, I've said it before, if it was my dad, I'd be reining it in. But Tyson doesn't care. John doesn't care. It's comedy gold. It's brilliant. I love it.
What about the Callum Wall? Not Callum Wall. Who was the guy, the British boxer he was trying to fight?
Oh, Carl Froch.
Yeah.
Carl Froch. I don't know why I said Froch. That's what dickheads say. Yeah, Carl Froch. In fact, Carl Froch, I've had a request to do a little team up.
People keep telling me we should get him on the show.
Yeah, well, I will do. I'll reach out to him because Daz Morris, my mate, reached out and sent me his number as well. I've just been traveling and doing a million different things. I actually commented on his YouTube channel and said, let's do something. So stay tuned. We'll get Carl Froch on the show. And, you know, maybe when it comes to, Fury versus Usyk. That'll be a good time to have him on. But anyway, thanks for the question, Roland Vixen. You absolute mental patient, Brian.
All right. So next question we have here is from Angry Dad and Pumpkin.
Hey, believers. My name is Pumpkin. See, believe, achieve.
Joking. Duncan here, aka Purist Dad Music. Had a few interactions with Harrison on social media. Thanks for that. For following SoundCloud and Twitter. So I had a couple of questions. First one is Chase Hooper mentioned a while ago about maybe having fighters who miss weight have a point deducted at the start of their fight. Might make things a bit interesting. And your thoughts on that? And other than that, just about a year ago, I was living in the Kingdom of Jordan, probably your only believer there. So I'm interested in the translators, maybe their stories, like Fabiano. I think translating is a side gig for him. He's like in the travel industry by day, so interested to hear their sides of the story, and maybe the cut men too, how they came to be cut men, what qualifications they need. Other than that, me and Pumpkin, let's say goodbye. Say bye, Pumpkin. Now don't look at me.
Get a grip, Pumpkin. Get a grip. Right, you kind of lost me there. So hold on. What was the initial question? It was good.
What about fighters who miss weight? Should they lose a point in the fight?
That's why I'll answer that bit. The other part about the Kingdom of Jordan and the translators and cut men and how did they become cut men and all the rest of it. I'm not a cut man. I'm not a translator. Ask a cut man. Ask a translator. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm too busy.
Suggesting that we get Fabiano on the show.
Oh, okay.
And just tell stories about translating.
Oh, I see. That's actually not a bad idea. I'll get him on. Fabiano, by the way, he's the smooth guy that does the translations.
Oh, yeah.
He's brilliant. He's the best interpreter, translator in the game because he doesn't just translate it with the words. You know, some people just say, you hear it sometimes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They've got some good ones in the UFC, but you hear it sometimes. And it's just so monotone and robotic. You know, he does it with the energy and the passion and the question marks and whatever, you know, he translates it perfectly. You know, he is by far the best. Yeah, that's a good idea. He's got a good personality as well. He's a good dude. And Cutman Tate as well. We've got to get Cutman Tate on. Point off for missing weight. I'm sorry, buddy. What was the kid called? The cat called Ginger?
Again, Pepper? Jordan. Jordan, I think.
No, it wasn't. It was Ginger or Pepper. I think anyway. You and the cat can piss off. That's a stupid rule, right? If you agree to fight, you agree to fight. You can't take a point off for missing weight. I understand there should be a punishment. The punishment is a financial punishment. I don't believe, because Dominic Cruz feels very differently about this. Dominic Cruz believes that people miss weight on purpose to give themselves an advantage so that they haven't killed themselves in the sauna. They'll be stronger and all the rest of it, and they're not going to fade as the fight progresses. Maybe I'm naive, which a lot of people on here say I am, right? But I just cannot believe that a fighter would purposely go, you know what? I'm not doing these last 2 pounds. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to get fined 20%. I don't care about that. Because then it guarantees my win bonus and I get a win. And as long as I keep winning, that's more important. I can't imagine any real man that is brave enough to step in an octagon and fight at the highest level would be that much of a coward and that much of a pussy to not even try. I genuinely believe that when people miss weight, it's because they've been lazy throughout the training camp. They've been too... reliant on their nutritionist. They haven't held themselves accountable. They haven't monitored their weight. And they ultimately haven't been as strict with their diet as they needed to be. Because you fall into a trap, you're like, okay, all right, well, it's not coming down as quick. I'll be good. I'll be fine. All right, well, then it becomes, well, this weight cut's going to suck. I've done it before. I did it 10 years ago. I'll be able to do it again. And then they've messed up. You know, I really don't believe that people do it on purpose. Brian, what stat are you going to tell me?
So at the time of this article's printing, I'm not sure when it was, but it couldn't have been too long ago. Since 2013, 109 fighters have fought overweight, and they carry a record of 51 wins and 58 losses. So statistically, it does not help.
Really? Because I was always under the impression that it was the other way around, that statistically they went on to win. But regardless, it's close. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. I've got a cold. Oh, don't you just hate that?
Yeah, okay.
Don't you just hate that? Uh-huh. I hate that feeling. I was looking forward to a big sneeze.
Just blue ball to sneeze, that's the worst.
Oh, God, no, I've got a cold. I've got a runny nose. Man, I'm in a bad way. No man alive should be doing a podcast.
That's Atlantic City does it to you.
Yeah, they got me. I don't know, but you can't take a point off.
There are some cases, like Yoel Romero when he fought Luke Rockhold for the interim title, right? He came in, I think it was like 3 pounds over, something like that, didn't want to cut any more weight, knocked him out in the first round, give up 20% of that purse, sure. But the purse you're going to get for an actual title fight, going to be a lot better, no?
I just disagree fundamentally.
Fair enough.
Can't do it. If you're going to fight, you fight. And the conditions are met beforehand. If you miss weight, you either refuse the fight or you accept the fight and you take their purse. You know what I mean? You can't then go, right, okay, well, you came in a little bit heavy, so you're going to essentially lose one round. 5 minutes of your effort are going to be totally worthless.
You should have put in that extra 5 minutes cutting weight.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. You know what I mean? I always say fighters who miss weight should be ashamed of themselves. Always say that. I have a very, very strong stance on that. Also, at the same time, I don't believe that it should be deducting points because the fight hasn't even bloody started. Anyway, I will allow one more question, Brian, and then I'm going to go away. I'm going to go try and feel better.
That's very gracious of you, Mike.
I'll allow it.
Our next question here is from Mr. Logan Ford.
What up, BYM Pod? My name is Logan. I'm coming out of the area of San Antonio, Texas. First off, I want to say, I'll try to make it quick. First off, I want to say, Michael, you're my favorite UFC fighter of all time. You're a badass. Love everything you've done. Love everything you do for the sport. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. Big fan. But a while back when Kamaru Usman lost his fight to Leon Edwards, he went on the JRE podcast right after that, and he talked about losing in front of his daughter. And one thing that he said that really kind of struck me and I thought was really interesting was he said that he found it almost important for his daughter to see him lose so she can see him come back from that and overcome that and become a better fighter, better person, so on and so forth. I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that, see what y'all think about that. And, you know, how did you teach your kids off of your losses, or, you know, what was your train of thought on that? So let me know. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, Logan, for those kind words. I really do appreciate that. And that's a good question, because it's always such a cliche. Fighters say it all the time. And I think I've even said it. I'm guilty of saying this. No man alive will beat me in front of my children. Simple as that. You know what I mean? When my wife and kids came, Rebecca, Callum and Ellie came along, I'm like, yeah, there's just no way I'm going to lose. I'm not losing in front of them. But that's kind of out of your control. You're always going to do your best. And granted, if you think your children are there, you might draw up some mythical powers, like something from a movie where you harness this extra special 10%. But there's no fairy. There's no angel. There's no script writer. It's not a script. It's not a movie. It's real life. And if you get clipped with a good shot, if you get a shin-on-chin headshot dead, like Leon landed on Kamaru, it doesn't matter all the will in the world. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? That's not factored into the equation. We all say that, but it is important. And I like what Kamaru said, because, you know, my family, my children have seen me lose. My wife has seen me knocked out. You know, kids have seen me lose as well. And it is a valuable lesson for them to learn. And more importantly, is how you come back, because you can't give up on yourself. You know, I think most people are more inspired and more motivated when they see somebody do that, somebody pick themselves up and dust themselves off and get on with it, you know, and just say, right, well, fuck it. I didn't do it. I'm going to try again. And that's what I would always say. I've said this before, so I apologize for repeating myself. But every fight, especially when Callum was younger, he was always very nervous for me, you know, and I'd always call him from the dressing room every single time. I'm talking back when he was like 10 years old, you know, maybe even younger, 5, 6, 7, whatever. And he said a couple of times, you promise me you're going to win, Dad? And I always said, I can't promise I'm going to win, Dad. Dad, I can't promise I'm going to win, son. I can't. I said, but I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try my best. As long as I do my best, then that's all I can do, you know? And if the man beats me, then fair play. But I tell you what, I'm going to go out there and give it everything I got. I said, if I do lose, don't feel sad, because at least I try my best. You know, now that sounds like a defeatist attitude. It's not. It's just setting realistic expectations. You can't sit there to a young kid that's 7 years old and go, oh, yeah, don't you worry. Don't you worry. I'm going to knock this guy out. Then you go out there, it's UFC 100, and you get flatlined into oblivion. Do you know what I mean? But that is life. That's what happens sometimes. So, yeah, fair play to Kamaru. Has he won since? I don't think he has he? Bless him. So the rebound journey is still on. Kamaru's going to jump on the show soon, by the way.
Nice. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
I don't think he needs to, though. He's got every bloody guest on the planet joining him. He's got everyone. So, but yeah. Anyway, that's it. That's the show. Thank you all for watching. Monday, Anthony and I will be back. I think we've got a couple of guests as well, so make sure you tune in for that one. In the meantime, enjoy the fights this weekend. See you then.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.